It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 707. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, facebook.com/miketechshow. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype, and that is Mike Tech Show, all one word. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. We are starting a little early on Thursday night because I'm going to be traveling. I need time to edit the show. Normally, when I'm doing something that big on a Friday or a weekend, I don't record on Thursday. But I had some time to start early. I want to do the show, do a fast edit. I don't know if you've noticed, I am not doing super editing. I'm just doing very little editing of the audio so I can get it posted up faster. Tonight's show, Synchro update, Freedom Voice update I want to talk about, stories from the trenches, just brutal Windows 10 update I have to talk about, some problems, graphics problem. We're going to talk about some Ubiquiti Wi-Fi, and we're going to talk. I have a stack of email that I want to get to. So let's begin with my status on Synchro. I now have 60 clients in that RMM and adding more assets every day. I got to get the invoicing down. That's my next step. And I'm working on new policies as I learn and work through the community PowerShell scripts, and also teaching myself PowerShell. And I now have a secondary test unit that I can destroy if I do something really bad and send a bad script, and I have an image of it so I could just blow the image back down. I need it to take care of, I needed to do that because I whacked my old test system in testing where I made a mistake in one of the scripts. And it deleted all of the contents of all the subfolders on everything on C. That's not a good thing. And all I was trying to do was some advanced temp file cleaning. So make sure whatever you're doing, you have to test. Now, I did that on my test system. But then I realized that's actually my sort of production backup system that I do some work from. So I redid everything. And now I have a much older machine. Matter of fact, an old Dell Vostro Core i3 through 8 gig of RAM in it, a solid state drive. It's Windows 10 Pro, and it's sitting there, and I'm beating it up, testing with a Synchro. So now, a couple things. I deployed Synchro on some Windows 2008 servers, and I noticed there was a problem with bug checking and the server rebooting. And after going through the blue screen logs, the memory dump, discovered it's a Synchro service. Critical services terminated by the synchro.service.runner.exe. I had to get Synchro agent off that system. That concerned me. And I posted it in the Synchro MSP group on Facebook, and I really got to open up a support ticket. I want to send those detailed files and have them find out. Now, I know Windows 2000 is going away, but I still have some clients. You know, I know it's not going to be supported in January, but I do have three production servers that are still Windows Server 2008. The other two aren't giving me problems. I just wanted to throw that out there. Second, a program that I have never realized until embracing Synchro. And this is a separate link because you don't need an RMM to take advantage of this. It's called chocolatey.org, chocolatey.org. It's the largest online registry of Windows packages. The chocolatey packages encapsulate everything required to manage a particular piece of software into one deployment artifact by wrapping installers, executables, zips, and or scripts into compiled package file. I started playing with PowerShell, deploying an example. First deploying the program, Chocolatey, then deploying, I have a script that goes out, downloads Crystal Disk Info Portable, unzips it, runs it in silent mode, redirecting the output to a text file, then sending the text file after creating a new ticket for that asset, attaching the result, and then closing the ticket. Now, the problem that I had, this was a community script that I had to edit because there was no, they had no clean way of downloading the Crystal Disk Info because it could change all the time. And that's where I discovered that users, anybody using Synchro or probably any RMM, this is a great find. And I'm using the open source public free version of Chocolatey. There's registered, business pro versions. The license allows me to still use this, even pushing it to different clients. Take a look at that. It's very interesting how I started practicing deploying all sorts of packages. I'm going to have a script that's going to make it very easy. It's almost like Nynight, like do it yourself. I'm going to be able to send a script to a new system that will just install all the default programs we want. Install Chrome, Firefox. Do they need Evernote? Do they need VLC, EarthenView, all of the free programs we talk about, the free version of Malwarebytes. There's lots of things you can deploy here. Wait and you see the repository. Anyway, that was a great find and I wanted to share that. Okay, next. How am I doing with Freedom Voice? Well, I finally migrated this week away from RingCentral, where I only had one phone that answered that we used for the business phone. I now have two Freedom Voice phones, and my main number has been ported. I love how it's working, and very, very happy as we right now collect phone bills from clients and generate quotes. I already have an opportunity, very small startup, that only needs two phones for their business, and I've already quoted, and they've accepted a Freedom Voice install for the phones when we deploy, which is going to be in November. So I am very, very happy with the whole process so far. To come clean with everything, I'm concerned. In the last month, there were two outages. Now, a lot of the people in the Freedom Voice group are claiming they've been one, a couple of people have been with them for a long, long time, and they've never had outages like this. I am concerned, and I am going to be careful on how I deploy until I see that this is, I'm kind of worried in 1 month, two outages, and there was also a little problem on a delay of sending voicemail to email one day when I was testing. Now, it's been really good, except for these two little hiccups. So I'm keeping my eye and I will keep reporting it because you got to know that how it goes. I know I've had little to no outages with RingCentral, but they are more expensive. Stories from the trenches. I have a couple. A Windows 10 update that I'm going to link from Bleeping Computer as they talk about the cumulative update that breaks the start menu. It does more than break the start menu. It breaks printing. It is KB4524147. That is etched in my son and my brain, that knowledge base article. We had six clients on Monday where they received updates on Friday and realized they can't print over the weekend. We had to pause updates and we had to uninstall that update. It is horrible what Microsoft is doing. Yes, we're going to make money, but I don't enjoy, feel dirty making money that way. That's not the way we should be making money. But I get it. I understand. I accept it. I move on. And at least now I have the fix. Right away, if they're not printing, we first look to see if they have that update. If they do, we uninstall it. If not, then we go to our normal maintenance, which I have a script that works great that goes out. And this was in the community of scripts. If someone complains about their print spooler, I can send this script that stops the spooler service, deletes those files in the spool printers directory under Windows System 32, and then restarts the service. Very cool. It works perfect. So they're the kind of fixes that I want to have scripted out, where I want more than half of the problems we run into, I want to have a script we can deploy on a system and just fix it instantly. That's my goal. That's my dream. Automate everything. You need to take heed of this particular update number, and I'm going to repeat it again. It is KB. Keep in mind, you're going to need to know this knowledge base article for the update, and you're going to have it. It is KB4524147. You want to do everything humanly possible to remove that. And we got to keep an eye on Microsoft. When are they going to send this fix? Now, this is mainly for Windows 10 version 1903. Let's move on to another problem that I was able to resolve on Saturday. Have a client with Windows 10 that all of a sudden they would lose the top banner of the app to where there was no file option, no nothing, and it would go across the board on everything running on his system. The only way to bring it back was to hold simultaneously the Windows key, Control, Shift, and the letter B. That resets the graphic engine for the system. I got to a point where he had to do it like 10 times a day. On Saturday, I said, or before Saturday, I said, let me log in when I get a chance where you're not working, and I want to install a new NVIDIA driver. He has a very high-end precision laptop, a Dell, that has a high-end graphics card, and I wanted to make sure that the driver was the latest, greatest. He has now gave me feedback. He has not had to do that yet since I installed the driver. So very happy that fixed it and wanted you to know what that trick was. My big client that has Ubiquiti access points deployed in their manufacturing facility and their office, we have two SIDs. We have the private SID for the office workers, and we had a guest SID. Well, now the head of production comes, meets me yesterday and says, Mike, we got to limit the activity on the guest network. So I limit it to what they want, an hour only between 11:30 and 12:30 during lunchtime. Is the guest Wi-Fi up and running? So trying to curtail employees. I know there's a lot of other ways you can approach this, but this was easy to deploy that schedule. But now the worry was, okay, we got visitors that come and clients that are important and they need a guest network. So I was able to easily deploy a third SSID called the company initials Visitors, which is great because now they're not limited for any time and it is a guest network. Just some of the advantages of the Ubiquiti Wi-Fi and what you could do, I actually could deploy a fourth SSID if I had to. But you have a lot of capabilities and the ability to manage those policies, and they just automatically are pushed out to all the access points. It's been working really good, knock wood. All right, that's it for In the Trenches. Let's hit the emails here. This is Terry from Arizona. At the school district that I work at, I get work orders from teachers that think they have a virus or pop-ups. What is actually happening is that Chrome is sending notifications that the teachers must have allowed. It just takes a couple minutes to turn off the notifications in Chrome. I've had to do that a lot. My son and I are always turning them off. When it happens to a teacher that my coworker supports, he re-images the computer. I think that is a waste of time. I agree with you, Terry, 100%. I can fix a few non-malware problems in minutes, but my coworker re-images. I'm just wondering about your opinion on re-imaging from such minor problems. I absolutely will not re-image for something like that. It's got to be very serious, and it's got to be a problem that, as I'm looking at it, it is going to take hours to fix. It's got to be a corrupted operating system where it won't boot. And I spend a few minutes going into the BIOS, making sure everything's set right. If the Windows will not boot, but I test the hard drive and the diagnostics and everything works for the hard drive, then something got corrupt. Okay. If I can reformat that drive, redo Windows 10 and redeploy it, great. And just reinstall the software or whatever we had to from a backup and do the restore. It's got to be serious to what we term nuke and pave and to re-image. I don't re-image so quickly. Now, what is the tool that you are using? Now, I'm running into problems where I didn't have the opportunity to have an image. So if you have an Acronis backup with an image that you can deploy in, let's say, 15 minutes, well, then hopefully there's no local data that you're going to miss and that they're saving on a server or saving on the cloud or saving somewhere where it's easy to restore back. If you have a fairly current image, well, there could be an argument to say, hey, you re-image. It's much faster. A lot of libraries work that way where there's no local data and every night they have an automatic re-image because of whatever happened during the day. I've even seen one library that re-images on reboot. It's that fast. And now if you've got a great deployment of re-imaging, that's a different story. But traditionally with my clients, I don't have readily available images like that. So we try to fix the problem, but we're not unreasonable where we're going to take too long to fix it. That's when we decide to re-image. I like to put a 2-hour limit. Anything more than 2 hours, we could reinstall. Thank you, Terry. This is from Franklin about podcast 704. As I was listening to podcast 704, it brought back good memories of when I was at your number 500 show meetup. I had a great time. I wanted to share my experience on Carrie's comment on Intel NUCs. Since early 2013, I have built 120 of them, with two failing over that time. Both were painlessly replaced under warranty by Intel. About 95% of them are running as Linux servers. Thanks for podcasting all these years. I have learned a great deal from you and your experiences. Well, thank you very much, Franklin. I really appreciate that. Got a big email here from Francis, and this is about show 705 In the Trenches. Hi, Mike. Serial connections. Just to give an introduction, I've spent the past 30 plus years of my career split between the pre-press production, printing, and radiology biomed industries, and serial interfaces are almost as prevalent as they've always been, especially for low-level configurations and diagnostic monitoring. In the early 2000s, as USB started to take over, the peripheral connections of choice and serial parallel ports started to disappear, it became very difficult to find USB to serial adapters that were reliable from the point of view that they worked no matter what you plugged into them. For many years now, the only reliable and go-to product is the USB to serial adapter from Aten, A-T-E-N. I have to check that because I have had mixed results, and I've had to order Optiplexes that still have and support the 9-pin serial connection. I have clients, as you do, that have to have that, especially a doctor's office that has hearing aid testing equipment, and it's all done via serial. I've tried USB to serial with no joy, but I have not tried that manufacturer, and I absolutely will. Thank you, and I'll put a link, and I'll include the Amazon link for it. A10 USB to RS-232 adapter, 35 centimeters UC-232A. This adapter connected to everything RS-232 based reliably, from production printing machines to CT MRI systems and aesthetic laser systems. Along with the above adapter, I can highly recommend taking the time to make up some of the RS-232 to RJ-45 adapters. You'll have no doubt come across similar connectors from your enterprise days. Yes, on Cisco and Juniper equipment. Absolutely. Effectively, you have an adapter at either end of a straight-through network cable. I always have one or more in the car, and it becomes an as-long-as-you-want serial cable dependent on the length of network cable you have access to. Saves having to actually carry the additional bulk of different types of serial cables, especially when you travel extensively by air as part of the fun of being a technician. This is an awesome recommendation. Special note, this is not a fix to run serial over your network infrastructure. It just utilizes handy items you may have on hand to make life easier. Running serial over your network infrastructure is very different and expensive ballgame, but it can be done. As well as the 9-pin variety of serial to RJ45 adapters, there are also 25-pin variants. And I've also made a 15-pin one by using the 25-pin to RJ45 shell and soldering a 15-pin D-shell connector. I've included a couple of DigiKey US links below of the type of D-shells I'm referring to. Thank you. He talks about drivers. You referred to having struggled to find some drivers for an old XP system during the show. I actually used Driver Max, but did not use it on that particular system. Recently, I've been evaluating Snappy Driver Installer Origin, aka SDI Origin, which is a standalone portable utility that downloads and stores locally huge libraries of drivers, even as far back as XP. Then, when you run the utility on the PC requiring updated drivers, it will automatically install the drivers you choose. So far, I've had very few issues other than with a Wascom tablet and a Microsoft wireless mouse dongled that have required uninstalling to rectify the issues induced. The software also features the creation of a system restore point prior to installing any of the drivers. Should there be any issues. The driver libraries are usually updated monthly and can be quite large, with all of the libraries currently weighing in at 16 gig. Now, if I have internet access and it's a modern system, you know, newer than XP. I use Driver Max. It'll go online, find all the drivers. I can check which ones I want to be updated, and it will absolutely create a restore point. One of the other nice things is I can back up all the drivers to a file that if I have a bunch of systems that are the same, I can easily just load the drivers on. But at that point, if I have a bunch of systems that are the same, I'm going to image it and just blow the images back down. He continues a couple more things here. USB tools. I'm sure you're like me and have endless number of bootable tools, utils, and install media stored on various USB flash drives to assist you with your daily tech encounters. I've just started to look at Easy to Boot, a Linux-based USB boot manager solution that utilizes ISO files of all your favorite tools, utils, and installation media into one flash drive form, which you can select which one to boot. I haven't got very far with it yet, but I figured you may want to make a note of it should you require it, or is it a possible solution for a question posted to you? I hope my insights and experiences with these items are of use to you. They absolutely are, especially all of your information on the serial. And I am going to check out Easy to Boot, and I will turn as many of the things he mentioned here into show note links. This is from Francis. Thank you very much for your email. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for joining me. The best way you can support the show is to use our Amazon link. And I say our, it's Carrie Holzman and myself. We share a link where if you come to MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com, the show notes, and you pick support us using the Amazon link, it'll take you to Amazon. But anything you now add to the cart will get a small commission. Your price stays the same. Why not help us out? Instant House Call. Go to InstantHouseCall.com. Download the free trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow and play with it for 15 days. You will love it. Auto Backup 7 Pro. My son used it today. He had an all-in-one with a client where the system died. They bought a refurb from us. He took out the hard drive out of the refurbed all-in-one that the user had, mounted it on a USB drive mount from SATA to USB, a dock, ran FABs, transferred all the files. Beautiful utility. You can't live without it if you do our work. That's it. There will be no show on October 17th. That's next Thursday. I want to thank everybody again for supporting the show, downloading the podcast, and everybody have a great 2 weeks, and I'll see you back here. Same time, same channel, later in the month. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.